in general, over the last bunch of years, we've tried to take the opportunity on these Thursday nights to tackle sugyas and really mesechtas that don't get learned that much in the classic yeshiva curriculum. The last bunch of years, for Elul and Chorev Zman, we've been alternating between something in Zrayim and something in Taros, and this year is a Taros year, so we will be focusing this year primarily on Mesechas Mikvaos, at least for a significant chunk of the year, if not taking us all the way through Chorev Zman. The reason why we have these shiurim, just to clarify why we do it, number one, we do it because on the Yedias HaTorah level, it's helpful to be familiar with things that we would otherwise not really be encountering. It's good. A person could learn yeshiva for a long time and not come across Mesechas Para, Mesechas Negayim, Mesechas Mikvaos, or Maaser Sheni, or things like that. And we want the opportunity to be able to become familiar with it. Number two, and even a short amount of time just to be familiar with it, I think is valuable. Number two, one of the goals is to make these areas of Torah somewhat less scary. When we learn Bekiyas and something comes up about the world of Taros or the world of Zrayim or the world of Kachim, which we do Kaisman often, so sometimes it can be a little bit scary and people can skip over it or things like that. Ian Shear, I skip that part, but it's really it's a beautiful, beautiful area of Torah. And it's an area of Torah which has nice, sweet Torah, the way that all Torah has nice, sweet Torah. The third reason why we do it is, to be entirely honest, because I have not learned these things. I have the same key of Daraisa to learn them as everyone else. And therefore, this is my my attempt at trying to learn some of these areas of Torah that I haven't had these chus to be able to learn. The goal tonight is very, very simple, which is to give a bit of a hakdama to learning Taros in general, to explain what's going on in Taros. We had a hakdama a couple of years ago before the Mesechas Para. This has a couple of the same mikoros in the beginning, but primarily will be a little bit of a new perspective on learning Taros. Let's begin as follows. It's a very well-known comment of the Gra in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Shoftim. The Gra points out that there appear to be three primary areas of Torah. There is what's referred to as mamonos. There's monetary law. That's what the pasuk refers to when it says bein din la din. That a question as to are you chayef to pay? Are you putter from paying? That's the world of din mamonos. And as Hashem Yisbarach, when we get to Baba Kama, that's what we are primarily speaking about. There's also bein dam la dam, which the Gra understands to be. Without, it's an important assumption. Is a reference to dam nida, the world of iser v'heter. There are questions about, is something mutter or usser? Non-kosher foods, not monetary law, that's Yisurim. There's Yisurim and there's Mamonos. Those are two of the main areas of Torah. The third area of Torah, Benega, Lenega, is the world of Taharos. Is the world of Taharos. The Shechter points out in Eretz HaTzvi, in Simen Gimel, and Simen Beis, that these three areas of Torah each have their own sort of discipline. You can't learn from one to the other. So the Gemara tells Mesechus Brachos, Isura Mimemona Lo Yalfinan. I can't learn from Isur to Mammon because each area has its own rules. What do I do in a case of Safek? Different rules. And Isurim and Mammonos and Tomantara, each area has its own rules. So we're going to be learning something from Seder Taros. And it's important to appreciate, on the one hand, we may have learned a lot in different areas of Torah. But if it's our first sort of like foray into the world of Taros, so it may have certain rules that maybe we're not used to, and it may be a bit of a different discipline as far as how exactly you learn Seder Taros. Let's point out with one of the things, again, just introducing it, which I think is very, very important to know. We know that the Talmud Bavli is on, in Zrayim, we only have a Gemara on Brachos, and in Taros, we only have a Bavli in Mesechas Nida. The Bavli, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, and Kachim. A couple Mesechtas here or there where there is no Gemara. But primarily the Bavli is on those Mesechtas. The Yerushalmi, there is a Yerushalmi on Zrayim. And because in Eretz Yisrael, the Zrayim halachas of Eretz Yisrael were very, very important. But even in the Yerushalmi, there's nothing on Seder Taros except for Nida. Which means that when you learn Seder Taros, you're not working off of a Gemara the way, or even a Yerushalmi, the way you could in the world of Zrayim, and certainly in the Bavli that we're used to when it comes to Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim, and things like that. So we're missing something, and it makes the Limud much more challenging. And to point out, I guess, three things. Number one, if you look, for those of us that were here for Kayetman last year, so Rashi and Sukkah and Daf Yadal, it seems to tell us that there actually never was a a Yerushalmi. There actually never was a any form of Gemara that we had on Taros. The Taros never really had a Gemara at all. If you look in the Rambam's Hagdama, the Peiros on Mishnah, and certain Gaonim, there are those who are Medayik, that there actually was a, at least a Yerushalmi, that was there on Taros, that at some point got lost. At some point got lost, and that's what it is. Why would it be that there is no Yerushalmi even on Taros? Why would it be when I'm learning Taros, I don't have a Bavli or a Yerushalmi? Why wouldn't it be there? So the answer that you'd want to suggest is because it's not Shayach Bizman Hazeh, and never really need it. What's the problem with saying that? We do have a Bavli on Kachin. We have a Zvachim and a Menachos. We have a Me'ila and Erechin. We have a whole lot. So what's going on? Why is there no Bavli why is there Yerushalmi even when it comes to Seder Taros? So we're talking about Seder Taros. We're thinking about what's unique about Seder Taros. One of the things about learning Taros, which is somewhat unique, is that Taros has no Yerushalmi, and we have to sort of figure out a little bit what exactly is going on. So we have a bit of a hadama as far as how Taros works. Taros is primarily dealing with the laws of Tumah and Tahara. We know it's its own separate discipline, the Ha'ara of the Gra and Deres Eliyahu. That means that we can't learn from certain areas from Tumah to other places. It has its own set of rules. We have to get used to those rules a little bit. And we're somewhat handicapped by the lack of Bavli and the lack of Yerushalmi other than Meseches Nida. So you're learning Parah, Negam, Kalim, Olos, etc. Uktzin, Tvul Yom. I don't have a Yerushalmi. I don't have a Bavli. So it makes it somewhat more challenging to be able to learn. And one of the questions I'm going to figure out is, why exactly is it missing, and what exactly is so significant about it? So let's begin as follows. I want to develop three mahalchim towards the significance of learning Taros. Three mahalchim towards the significance of learning Taros. We'll try to appreciate it well, so that when we learn mikvos, the limit itself will be all the more relevant and all the more worthwhile. Let's begin as follows. Let me just note one thing as an aside if you're interested in this stuff. There is no Bavli or Yerushalmi on Taros. There are Gedolim that did their best to make one. The most famous example is the Radziner, not the Radziner, but the Baal Tchelet, Rav Gershon Henochliner, who was the one who was a mass Talmid Chacham, wrote a sefer, a presbyter called Sidrei Taharos. Sidrei Taharos was his attempt at taking all the different Ma'amari Chazal that are relevant to Mishnayos and Seder Taros, and writing and putting together like his own Gemara on Taros. We only have Kalim and Oelos. The rest was lost in the Holocaust, I believe. The Shaul Meshiv, one of the great poskim, wrote in his Haskama, Sidrei Taros, that when he was young, he also wanted to do the same thing and to put out a copy of all the Ma'amari Chazal on Seder Taros. He writes that he heard that his grandfather, I believe, the Maharal, actually did it, and all of the Maharal's attempt at making a Gemara, taking the Ma'amari Chazal, putting it on Taros, that sefer got burned, fire broke out, and we lost it. And Shaul Meshiv writes, I'm so happy someone finally came along and did it, but that was lost also. In the last bunch of years, there are a lot of people who have, there are a bunch of sort of different editions of Sfarim where people have tried to do this. But I'm talking right now, on Mikvah, someone tried to make a Tzur of a Gemara, any Bavli that's relevant, put the Bavli there, put the Rashi and Tosfos on it, try to create a surah of a Gemara because it's hard to learn these things without a Gemara at all. But be that as it may, three mahalchim, why is it significant? What's the value of learning Taros? Why is Taros considered to be so important? Mahalch number one is a very, 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 very beautiful one. The Yalkut Shimoni in the beginning of Parsha Vayikra has the following comment. Amar Lo'Gash Baruch Hu, Hayacha Yishcha Malacha Gedola Mikomas Asisa Ulami Libni Tumma Vitara Ulasira and Hechnu Makriven Karban Lefanai. The Yalkut Shimoni said to the Ribono Shel Olam, I believe, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have an unbelievable zchus. Your unbelievable zchus is that aside from just all the Torah you've taught them, you can teach them Tumah Vatara, and you can teach them Kachim. Why are those two considered to be the greatest zchus, Kachim and Taharos? Why is that considered to be so special? So Rosenzweig once explained for the following reason. Torah is Hashem Tamima. We want to have pure Torah as much as possible. The problem is that in the world of Moed and Nashim and Nezikin, whenever we think about some of these concepts, we're often comparing it to secular law or secular concepts also. So I'm talking about Baba Kama and I'm thinking about what happens if I damage you, and I'm thinking also about, well, what would happen in American law? What would American law say about this? What would happen in England in such a case? Token shout out. Now, when that's going on, so what you're doing is I'm learning Torah not as pure Torah. I'm learning Torah comparing it in a certain sense. The Maila of Kachim and Taro, described Nakat Shimoni, is you're learning Torah which is pure. It's Torah which is without comparison to anything else in the world. You get to learn it as the purest form of Torah, and that, in a certain sense, is something which is amazing. To learn not the Torah which is always Lemaisa, but the value of Dafka learning that Torah which is not Lemaisa. The Torah which is not Lemaisa. You find a similarly beautiful insight. Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz was one of the great Gedolim of Bnei Brak, passed away a bunch of years ago, a real giant, who wrote a Haskamah to one of these new editions. And he says something amazing about Taros. He has the same kasha. Why is there no Gemara on Taros? Why would Chazal do that? But they would have on Kachim. And he offers the following suggestion. Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, one of the great Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Hyman. He is the second most famous Talmud of Rav Shlomo Hyman. Shlomo Hyman was Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber, who was Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker. Shlomo Hyman's other great Talmud was Shlomo Karabach, but Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz was a massive Talmud Chacham, who offered the following suggestion. Why is there no Yerushalmi on Taros? He said as follows. He didn't quote it, but the Chavetz Chaim had the following Hesber. Chavetz Chaim wrote a mimer called Tzipis LeYeshua. Chavetz Chaim says, Chazal, we needed to have mesechtas of everything which is relevant lemaisa. So brachos is lemaisa. I need to know brachos. Moed, nashim, nezikin. It's lemaisa. I have to know it. What about kachim? So says the Chavetz Chaim, kachim's also halach lemaisa. Why is kachim halach lemaisa? Kachim is halach lemaisa because the Gemara tells us when the Shalom parves fasin with pasuk and Hosea, when you can't offer karbanos and you learn about karbanos, it's as if you were makir of them. So if I sinned and I messed up and I learn about a carbon chatas, it's as if I was makir of a carbon chatas. Says the Chavetz Chaim, you got to learn it properly. Because if it's as if I offered a carbon chatas, I have to learn it as properly as I possibly can. Said Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz the following Torah. Again, stay with me. It's an amazing, amazing insight. You know what makes Taro so special? You know why it has no Yerushalmi? You know why it has no Bavli? For the following reason. It's not at all the Maisa. And you know why it's awesome it's not at all the Maisa? You know why it's awesome that it's not practical? Because the greatest form of Torah you could have is a Torah that requires real amelas. Real amelas. Working so hard. And so long as there's Gemara, it's actually not as hard. Because if there's a Gemara there, it will explain the Mishnayos for me. It'll give me the Chasuri Mechzeras. It'll give me the main Shitas. It'll often tell me how to interpret the Mishnah, how to paskin. And it had to be. So Chazal didn't want a Gemara. But we had to give us, in things that are halacha l'maisa, we had to give us, We had to give us a limud. So what was the limud that we gave us? So we have Gemara on Shabbos, to know how to paskin, halacha Shabbos. And we had to even have Gemara in Kachim, to know that when I learned Kachim, it's Gilas Makrevit. But says Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, Mahalach number one, you know why Kachim so awesome? It's so not l'maisa. And therefore, not just the Rav Rosenzweig Ha'ara, it has no parallel in the secular world, but an additional Ha'ara. It's so hard. It's so hard. There's no Bavli. There's no Yerushalmi. It's so challenging. But you know what? The greatest form of Torah is the Torah which is so hard. And the fact that we have Gemara was only to make it easier for us. We needed to know how to paskin. But in Taros, you got to just work so, so hard. So the first Mahalach, why is Taros so significant? Because it's so hard, there's no parallels, and it's so much not lemaisa. But the Torah that's not lemaisa is pure Torah. It's abstract. Nothing to do with our physical world. In a certain sense, there's a maila that Taros is not relevant bizman hazeh. That's how we did so far, so we can just point out the second section of the shir, which will be, I think, the opposite and very important. We know this follows. There are six sedarim in Shas, Seder Taros. Seder Taros is somewhat unique. Seder Taros, we pointed out in the beginning, it's its own, all of Taros, its own area of Torah. We want to familiarize ourselves with it. We spoke about how Taros has no Bavli Yerushalmi, what's going on. We pointed out a couple of things. Number one, as far as how we learn Taros, it's abstract, pure Torah. And what's better than abstract, pure Torah? What's more valuable than that? There is a second mahalach, which is very important, which is really significant for mikvaos. Everything we just said is in many ways not true. Seder Taharos is very much relevant halacha lemaisa. Seder Taharos is very much relevant halacha lemaisa. There's a somewhat well-known comment, by that I mean amongst people a little bit in this world, it's somewhat well-known. There's a Haggah of the Chesek Shlomo to on Kalim Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. The Chesek Shlomo says, what's Kalim all about? How I define a kli. What's called the vessel and what's not called the vessel. And he points out, you know, people say that Taharos isn't so halacha lemaisa. There's seven areas of Torah, he says, other Achorim add more, where it's clear that knowing Seder Taharos, knowing Meseches Kalim, is relevant to halacha lemaisa. What's a good example where you have to know something about Tumah and Tahara to Paskin Ashayla? Schach on Sukkos. We're learning Meseches Sukkah in the mornings. What kind of schach is considered to be kosher? Has to be someach min haaretz, grow from the ground. Has to be tullish, has to not be connected. What's a third din to know what's called kosher schach? It has to be something which is amakabel tumah. If I want to know if it's makabel tumah or not, so what do I have to do? I have to know meseches kelim. We have a lot of different halachas as far as what that's like. Netilas yadayim, I'm learning chelak beis of Mishnah Brura. And I want to know what kind of cup can I use to wash Netilas Yadayim. So what's the halacha? I have to know Meseches Kalim to know what's considered to be a kli. It's Hilchos Shabbos. And I want to know in Hilchos Shabbos what's called Muktzah or not. What's called Muktzah or not. So I see in Meseches Shabbos that a kli has certain halachas as far as kli shemach leheter, kli shemach leiser. Is it considered to be a kli? Is it not considered to be a kli? Sigin Meseches Shabbos and Kufchav Beis, Kufchav Gimel. So in many ways, Taharos is more halacha lemaisa than one would initially think. One of the areas of Taharos that is most halacha lemaisa is mikvaos. Mikvaos. Every community, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shuvas, every community has a chiyuv to build a mikvah. You have a chiyuv to build a mikvah. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, and Shuvas elaborate on what Rabbi Kiva Eger writes. The chiyuv to build a mikvah is a chiyuv incumbent upon the community. Not just individuals, the community has to go out of its way to build a mikvah. The mikvah has to be accessible. We need a mikvah so that women can go to the mikvah if they're a nida and they want to become pure. We need a mikvah because, those of you that are on Rabbi Leibowitz's road trip kolel, we need a mikvah because, tevilas kalim, if I buy a vessel and I want to kosher it, I have to, I buy tovel it in a mikvah, I have to know what a kli is, number one, and I have to then go be tovel it in a kalim mikvah. And depending on your halachic hashkafic leanings, you're a Jew who likes to go on to Har Abayis, if that's your zone. So I got to make sure that I know Hilchos Mikvah. I got to have a mikvah. So Hilchos Mikvahos is very much relevant nowadays. It's in Shulchan Aruch and in Yoredeya. Every community has a mikvah. So on the one hand, we see two opposite perspectives in Seder Taharos. Part of the beauty of Seder Taharos is that it's dafka not as halacha lemaisa. It's not as relevant. It's a little bit more abstract. No secular parallels. The world of Taharos. If dafka doesn't have a Bavli Yerushalmi, it'll be harder. We didn't need a Gemara to make it relevant because it's not halacha lemaisa and we'll be okay. And the opposite perspective, no. Post can point out, like a third of Taharos is straight up halacha lemaisa. Kalim is all about what's called a kli. Mikvah is about building a mikvah. What else do I have to know? Ohalos. Why is Ohalos relevant halacha lemaisa? Because of Kohanim. Kohanim can't become Tamei Mace. Kohanim can't become Tamei Mace. And because Kohanim can't become, I have to know, when am I Tamei Mace, when am I not? Can I go into the hospital now or not? Can I go into the morgue or what can I do, what can't I do? If I'm a Kohen, can I become a doctor or not become a doctor? Can I go into Maris Machpela or can I go into Meiron? Can I go if I'm going to Holocaust place, if I'm going to Poland, where can I go, where can't I go? These are Olos Shilas. These are Olos Shilas. And so much of what you find very, very much relevant is very, very much relevant halacha lemaisa. I want to chaz, we did so far. We'll have one more just brief nekuda. We try to go about 27, 28 minutes or so. So we have time for a little bit more. Chaz, we saw Taharos is a unique mesechta, unique seder. Own set of rules, Gra, Daris Elio. It has in it. It's more abstract, it's more unique. On the other hand, it really is relevant in many ways. I want to speak a little bit about just some background of Taharos to make sure an overview of a couple issues just so that we are more or less familiar with. Let's start as follows. Three kinds of things can become tame. Three kinds of things can be, I'll start a little differently. Tumma and Tahara, for most Rishonim, is there an Isser at all to be tame? The reason why a person goes to a mikvah is in order to become pure. Mikvos is picking up the end of the story. Mikvos is you're now going and you want to purify yourself. You already became tame. You already become tame. And now that you're tame, you want to purify yourself. So let's start like this. Fundamentally speaking, basically, according to the Rambam and most Rishonim, there's absolutely no Isser to be tame at all. There's never really a need to go to the mikvah, at least in the regular day. There's no Isser to become tame, to become tame at all. And if you are tame, you have no chiyuv to become tahor. All the dinim of Tumah and Tahara exist, but there's no Isser at all. There is a comment of the Ebn Ezra and Tosfos and Chulin on Daf Beis, where they maintain there, in fact, is a prohibition to be tame. And if you are tame, you have a chiyuv to be tahor yourself, which would involve going to a mikvah. But if lemaisa, a woman, let's say, is a nida, a woman is tame, she has no chiyuv whatsoever. She pashtus has no chiyuv to come along and become tahor. The only exception is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us chayev adam latahir atzmo biregel, that before the shalosh regalim there is an inyan to go to a mikvah. That's that. How do you become tame? You become tame through interacting with an av hatumah. Through interacting with an av hatumah. So if I become tame, maybe no iser. How do I become tame? Through a dead body, a dead animal that wasn't shechted, a nevela is considered to be an av hatumah, a nida, a zava, different things that may emanate from your body that may make you tame. But a person who becomes tame, strictly speaking, has no requirement to get out. Two other just last additional hakdamas, so that when we start mikvahs, we can sort of be on the same page. When you're tameh, there are different forms of tumah. Different kinds of people have different degrees of tumah with different halachos. Some people have to be totally isolated. What kind of tameh person has to be totally isolated? The mitzora. The mitzora is badad yeshev. He can't be around anyone. Certain kinds of tameh people, we're all tameh mace and we're all hanging out together. So you can be tameh mace, but certain kinds of tumah have different halachas. And certain kinds of tumah have different ways of removing your tumah. Different ways of removing it. So even if, as an example, you are tameh, some people, all they have to do is go to a mikvah. Some people have to also get sprinkled upon them with ashes from the parah aduma. If you're a mitzora, you have to also engage in these things with the tzipori mitzora, with these birds that we shecht and things like that. I think I once heard that Rav Neuberger said over, I think this is true, that when they built the Tinek Mikvah, they had to go in front of the zoning board, and they had to present what the mikvah's for. So they said the mikvah's for a ritual bath. And one of the guys on the zoning board, had read some Bible, so he was like, and what else do you do there? And they're like, pretty much that. You like shower, and then there's like a ritual bath. The guy's like, no, like, what else is going on there? And he's like, I think this is pretty much it. It's all what it was. And the guy wasn't budging at all to vote for the mikvah. And finally, he's like, what are you nervous about? And he's like, I've read my Leviticus. I want to know about all killing and the blood you're sprinkling. So that's true for certain people who are tameh. That's not true nowadays. But the world of tumah and tahara, little mikvahs, people can be tameh. And even if we can't purify ourselves from tumas mace, we can still purify ourselves to make us ra'oi for a woman who's a nida, to make herself ra'oi. And the world of mikvah is very much relevant. Two additional contexts, halach lemaisa, where mikvah comes up, and this will just chazer and end, but two additional contexts where mikvah ends up. Sorry, we're a little all over the place, more just an introduction before we have organized the Torah next week. Number one, a ger has to go to a mikvah. Therefore, we need a kosher mikvah, not only to purify yourself, but also as part of the din of geiras. Make sure we have a kosher mikvah. And the strong minhag to go to a mikvah, erev Roshana and erev Yom Kippur. Akedekach, the Rush, in the 8th parak of Maseches Yuma, quotes some geonim that when you go to the mikvah, erev Yom Kippur, you'd even make a bracha. You'd even make a bracha on that tefillah, a real inyan to be tova. Let me chazer what we did tonight, and just to clarify what is happening in general. atypical tonight. A bit of an introduction into the world of Taharos, a bit of a hakdama, what Taharos is like. Taharos is a unique area of Torah. It's a unique limud. I don't have Gemaras, Babis, Yerushalmis to work off of in a systematic way the same way. We spoke about two mehalchim in general, how related to Taharos, and we spoke about some basic, just introductory issues to be aware of. Two mehalchim in general. Number one, it's the most abstract, the Yaakov Shimoni and Rosenzweig, with Milchut Lefkowitz. That's why there's no Gemara. It's so hard, because nothing's as good as Torah, which is really hard. And number two, these things are really relevant, really, really relevant, halacha l'maisa. We then pointed out just two or three issues to be aware of. Number one, if you are Tamei, Machlokes HaRishonim, is it Aser? Do I have to purify myself? Number two, not everyone who's impure is it good enough just to go to a mikvah. Some people have to do other things aside from just being tovel in a mikvah. And the third thing is that people really are tovel in mikvahs nowadays, and not just a woman who's a nida. Women go to the mikvah, but we also go to the mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, which may have halachic value. A ger has to go to a mikvah, and therefore it's very important to know that our mikvahs have to be kosher. And we have, as we said also, there's a chiyuv, Rav Eger writes in Tshuvas, Mechazitzik elaborates on, with Moshe, Vez, Nikras Moshe, that there is in fact a mitzvah to build a mikvah. What are we going to be doing in general in these shiurim? Each one of the shiurim, we're going to choose one mini topic. One mini topic about mikvahs, and the goal is going to be doing two things each year. The first will be just some of the basic dinim and basic halachos relevant to it. And then we'll try to have some nice sweet lumdas when it works in the world of mikvahs. The primary goal at the end is that we can feel like when we walk away with this year, we feel like we are familiar with many of the main concepts, ideas, and yisodos in the world of mikvahs and the world of taros, despite it not having a Bavli or a Yerushalmi. Despite it being more abstract, despite it being ostensibly a little bit less halach lemaisa, that it's a world that we become familiar with, and we can see the Torah of mikvah can be incredibly sweet. The Torah of mikvah can be Torah, which is really very, very beautiful. One of the great chassidim said that he was zocha to reach his levels of tzitkus through his connection to being tovah in the mikvah. One of the great misnagdim noted once that one of his zchuyos, what allowed him to be so great, was to be able to be successful in Talmud Torah. And undoubtedly those who are able to engage in Talmud Torah about the world of mikvah, whether you are holding by the chassidim or the misnagdim, whatever world you're in, what better way to try to achieve and reach certain levels of godless, which be zocha throughout the year to learn mikvah as well, to connect to the world of Talmud Torah. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful night. I'm sorry I was a bit more disjointed than usual.